Good evening and a warm welcome to the service this evening. We're going to begin by singing to God's praise from Psalm 25 and the first two stanzas of the psalm in Gaelic. Psalm 25 verses 1 to 3 as they're marked. To thee I lift my soul, O Lord, I trust in thee. My God, let me not be ashamed, nor foes triumph over me. Let none that wait on thee be put to shame at all, but those that without cause transgress, let shame upon them fall. These two stanzas, in fact, just these two stanzas, and we'll remain seated to sing in Gaelic to God's praise. And after we've sung, Donald McSween will lead us in prayer in Gaelic, please.
Grass for a Weislich antali moje husse salami. Stochem atichem in chakishmi. Trorich mi atidin glanz ma hökish janige. She show in jökel edachistika chla. Kagaila weislich eden liasho. Rashli in a horny pleasure. Vanilla Krakro and Honigas and Marjal de Herman, Viscaroiga, Maradroch, Gnavi, a slave tin hion. Sashinakuni, Kamashan, Visagunya, gave Yanichi the Neskursa, Orve Dunya Vakuna Runya, Vashindi Hale, Mahal, Nedeva Wun, Honi, Young Gref and Tashahu. Nach dir, skruf ein Kutschuchu, agus gwa druch gnä wie duus gugsuhus, ihre tussach dir, mar abis druch gnatere, fasklusuhus ne bhoj wis as a talam, suhut wis na lai marav, ne dhiken druch gnä wie noas gwa tatochach gefaas. As in your corner, Commercianivis, who were in the horny gunny in Eskers, because in Tedavish, Vienna over, Pioch, Garnanum, Scabish in your father, in Fakaskach, in Jig, and a wish in your Kerpahed, which I never heard, a Celt in Kerlet, Logan, a mat, Sigodamas, Sinid in your Crada, in Capegodamas. Then I'm a journey could be at the yarn. Snahashon, a mianist, mian and need and kahla could be at the yarn. Agus nachbina, they'd be a good engage. Matt and Nishinet and each year nigga. Snigiri, a kuchahugus corner, who attain your skirsi came, yanni. A rayokalorn kahuchin, a viku, yasikiri, Nishinach Pahor. Gesinnig in Bachor, wenn ihr mich schiedig, Gier in Adorni, gebeschint an der Tiochanjara. Arhurschen Salami an Nachtele, Kreppe, Uges Angeloch, Madvru, Jatala, Uges Nachaschen, Hanin, und wir an der Tiktheta den Piachko. Meheschen noch nach der Piachko gannen, als ich gar mir alle Fehlen, Sanjeli Niedinjanen. Arhechke Schinule, Han is in uw kar, het kloot in je jorn. Han is in uw kut, het je geem, ja, niet te bemogen. Net te wazen ga je te. Zoek zijn blionig in moorden, schijnt af aan je. Krook ga je kut hem kwadagus. Uwes krook goeg je geem, ja, niet te jorn, een kluchting. En in je moet ooit, uwes raad, pilip, pilip, hebra. Geschon de wazen, geschiebe, gespeaken. Als je niet in je schrasje honem, ja, niet te vis. Viskere laak, konrugin, tasjag, schach kan je lana meshe dit pe. He konrugin je la, en die edig kriost. Nog als je niet pion, die hach die ede de gnetalab. En je is honem, ja, niet te vas, ik het krant keesi. Uw sahaye hurgain, ach netalab. Ach ka je. Hoe je in je boeien? Hoe kan je boeien? Pas ik ze doei. Zij nog pioor, de geslijm, dan heb ik er goeie de zon. Zij zijn tangerke wel. Hebben we met je troeg en nog kunnen show, maar de boek die juist er tien. Als je niet hier in de troog, die betangerke je. Ik wil namen en aan hun de troog, is gedoog, was je smijnig. Achelski alakene. Ugeske vishinjane darochotis. Achashin tangelun im janichte gewill. Fachkun im hiedi. Skewille na holles doet kas. Na lochran gynes an darochotis. Skenoch gehen gynin ech vishinjus manioch. Sine vishinjus manioch gewille el chaulorn. Stoch gran an uosh an istluie ha gynin. agus na chaile fáte láin bú búha. Sin ta ingalig é bhéannicht an nóch go fú tín tín gátí úsí, an a sáchid eit bá. Chane líhán var achpidí ar an atal a hésab gáin. Sé atal a hésab gáin ach cat an áit clí. Fyl fáchgún a bhíði nákan gá chiáldi eit bá. Fyl eákan ar iúl stúdi go bátal rán ás a chasó. Agus go cíndiach sa sinu mohindi dákud fíhim. Gwbi dachgol ac yn ei chialdi eith beth. Sgwbi hi hwn am iannig dyt dwbyd hei yn y dial ar hwn o eith beth. Agus nach bi yn oed y ffan naslun ar ni gnach. Da graf i ffifor. Ach san an oed y codd fi edd y drawn. Y bys i dan ywg yn ybyr lloch. Dan troch gyda o'n ychrwy. Ys bi anu sy'n golyd i gael. Nid ydw i'n ni'n gwneud mewn sôn dan y hwyr ni bys i'n ni'n gwneud eich. Ydw mwyn ydw i'n gnachol carm yn y mi awn. Mwyn ydw i'n hedd bach gwybod beth i hal mi an yn y gras. A chas i'n da'n gael cwydiach yn y mi an eich gwneud lillach gynnech wedi ddw i. Nes gyffyd i atsian i fi clyden. Fach glyd hi o'r neu lifri gwsed y hiaid. Na gwrdd at cialtion yn dachu. Ar y fylw eisiau sy'n amynach. Yn y dehen ffasgais yn y man yn ospital. Mwyn ydy yn y troch ydy eilio gael siws. A sy'n nhw'n ymian eich dy taing yn y chalet y fala fas ti halwg sa. Gat y gwrdd y mytio fwy gael diwch yn ych ych ati ych yn eich hwsat. O'r chan dyn nhw sy'n dod o gael yn gat yn ymwneud. Gafeich gatrwyliach. Ar unym sy'n nôbwyd. Agus chafacht yn ylo nôbwyd sy'n. Sfar y dos i chyfle sy'n nôbwyd. Fedd y wedi ysdi. Gwyd i gylas i bychwyl i ni a ganaf coland. Os gdiosta. Agus a bdion yn y tysgu bwyl agus a dwych bron. Agus a edrych a ddiwg roef halam. O'n a bywyr cryf ar hyblad ysdi. Máš je vykrýt, mám se kryt. Máš je mary gýt. A ráno dají máš je mu gáti kóny, mary bude mošin. Jíšin si gýjí, sami talo gulachy gáti gýjí. Ach, hekra, hik mi dí. Hik mi dí. Tehé nie je mašin, že těna by je měnit. Fyhé vkdy jste dí číhen, myšin češo léhon. Nere hiké, jen vyjde trkálochy, který vyjdan se tájí. Chani lehon hir leidag yn y talab yn y sorin sian gan efo chai. A dan i gdi efo niach gan tŵhul sio. Y sorin i gei o chani lewt ar y sec niach eil ach eich hi. Ar y ma bwyn gyda sio pti isio lecas. Ma had hw gons at ysir. Ygwys smuan an y hwlus gata niach. A lai mahariad at pri isio. Ygwys cymar nacht bi yn iddew gasuas an ym ffein y ddysan. A sy'n nhw'n ymian eich gwrn ni eisiau na. Le hedd y gian y fesyn. A sy'n chochon ala sioa iach gwynt gos siach. Ygwys o chwyl y coi yn ala lwn y troch ydw sy'n fel dachgol. Ydw chwyl yn gyn. Le tiach grych yn y dosga. Fan y fel mwrn o'n i'n y dalsuas. Fydd y gwys mran y gwrn i as o'n oaignas. Eisiau'n tiach grych yn y dosga. Sgwysgu bi i gheb i anech dy topo i dy dal y mehet na ar mis. Tha sy'n y gwrn i ysyn yn o'i gri a geid i sŵws mali dy. Gwys a dyn am i anech dy chos o prys o le byg a chynch gyd i geisio. Gwys y clyd yn y gheb i anech dy fwy. Sma'r hat y gywnsoch. Sma'r hain i chyn y etol ystyn a behes gan i alat ca gyd o chynach. Mae'r fys a dy ffrygwr sy'n siach gyda. Nid ydw i ddweud cwyd cestion am mis. A bod chwog yn i mi ddain, gyda gyfel sio ac yn hath. Ym hyd o chaat, yw yn as yr wyach ac yn hyn. Chan i'r gwyhau le hyt i ni. Gyn gwyhau ddach beddwyn, a chan ddal yn y dyn i sio. Yw yn ar yw i o'n. O, cwm ydw bydd hyn bi o'n a ddmys. Cwm ydw lwyd i gwyhau ni. O, gwyhau sy'n smiant la. Na gwyta sy'n fi anabyn, na gwyta sy'n fadachin, gyfela dein treig. Hanakusun in Yah. Och han tråkade hon, skulle inte läsa en tjacka där syr och hamade den. Vi var kom alls så att hon stod i en sig vill ha kvitt för jämmer. Vi går ner så ni tjöla att vi vill prana sin jävla nene skrsar i. Tjacka det tölt rik, en skid en akka ni gav en ett. Och sen jag går ner så vi var kåla det. Och så må hon skacka, gretus alla var. Skadan är ju vunnit där på Åhavlavar. Vi ska väl ta det falla med sin mänsk. Hon är ju rösen jag och jag är med mig. Vi kunde hålla sin jävlar. En ska rösa. Skjön och hålla ni är lika med att mål. Kvällen hon gav kutjöch när kratulak. Vi ska inte kästa knabbe. Ska vi ha tast för att utra. Ska vi ha ta målet i hjörna. Kedan ni gissågan jävlar här. Och det var lätt och kras för sig vad jag gör. Jag har inte kollat i hela, skulle kärsten inte kunna ha kvar. Men jag vet inte att jag tackar dig som ni har på håret. Jag går in med hennes. Den kristade i Jesu priserna. Jag ska ha krist.
Amen. We'll sing again to God's praise. We'll sing from Mission Praise 469. Mission Praise 469. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Saviour divine.
My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of
turn in your Bibles, please, to Genesis 22. Genesis 22, and we'll read the whole of this chapter. Genesis 22. This is God's word. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar. There he arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. Sometime later, Abraham was told, "Milcah is also a mother. She has borne sons to your brother Nahor: Uz, the firstborn, Buz, his brother, Kemuel, the father of Aram, Kesed, Hazel, Pildash, Jidlaf, and Bethuel. Bethuel became the father of Rebekah. Milcah bore these eight sons to Abraham's brother Nahor. His concubine, whose name was Rumah, also had sons: Teba, Gaham, Tehash, and Maacah." Amen, and may God bless that reading of his word to us. We're going to sing again from Psalm 25. Psalm 25, and we'll sing from verses 4 to verse 10 of the psalm. "Show me thy ways, O Lord, thy paths, O teach thou me, and do thou lead me in thy truth, therein my teacher be. For thou art God that dost to me salvation send, and I upon thee all the day expecting do attend." Down to the end of verse 10, and we'll stand to sing to God's praise.
"Show me thy ways, O Lord, thy paths, O teach me, and do thou lead me in thy truth, therein my teacher be. For thou art God that does
Let's pray as we come back to God's word. Our Heavenly Father, we pray in the words of the psalmist that you would show us your ways, that you would teach us your paths, and that you would lead us in the way of truth. We thank you that you are the God who shows us the way of salvation, and we pray that you would open our eyes to see that way and give to us faith that we may come to you and be saved. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 22, if you can have that open in front of you, please, that would be helpful. We're just going to step through the chapter. And Genesis chapter 22, it starts with something of a shock. Perhaps some of us got something of a shock this afternoon, because at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, some of our phones made a noise that our phones had never made before. Some government alert that came through the phones. I was sitting, reading through a book, starting to move into the sort of phase of nodding off, and my phone made a shrill, shrieking noise, and an alert came up saying, "Don't panic, this is just a test." But it was enough to wake me up and cause some degree of alarm. I was thinking of those in a service in Stornoway, hoping that their phones didn't all go off at the same time. But anyway, Genesis 22 begins with Abraham receiving a word which was a word of alert, a word of great alarm. It says in verse 1, some time later, God tested Abraham. Some time later makes us wonder what the timings of this are. And if we glance back to the last chapter, we can see in the last chapter that Abraham and Sarah, they had this great feast to mark the weaning of Isaac. That was the tradition back in that day. And at that feast, there was a clash between Sarah, Isaac's mother, and Hagar, Ishmael's mother, because of the way that Ishmael was mocking Isaac. And it led to a separation in the family. And so the commentators reckon that there's about 9 or 10 years of relative quiet after that. And this sometime later now kicks the story back off for us as we follow it. So likely Isaac is now no longer 3 years old. He's probably about 12 or 13 or 14 years old. And it says in verse 1, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." So the first point this evening is the point of sacrifice. If you're taking notes, then the first point that we can gather our thoughts under is sacrifice. God, as he calls Abraham to keep following, he requires of him this sacrifice. And yet, as we read this, we are unable to see what Abraham couldn't see. Now, we're told in advance that this was a test, but it was a test for which Abraham had to come to terms with the fact that God was calling him to make a huge sacrifice. And this is one thing that we must expect in the life of a disciple. Really, what we're doing as we're thinking about the morning and the evening services, and in the morning service, it's as if Peter, the disciple who's been on the long road of following Jesus, he takes us by the hand and he's teaching us what it looks like to be a disciple in New Testament terms. And in the Old Testament, as we're tracking Abraham, as he follows the Lord, again, we're being taught here lessons in discipleship from an Old Testament perspective. And what we see often in this journey is that as we follow God, there will be tests. And sometimes the Lord will ask us to make sacrifices. We see that in an acute way in this story with Abraham. He is being asked to put the son that he had waited for so long for, and the son that he so loved, he's being asked to put God before this son. And that was, even in his mind as he tries to process this, that was a huge sacrifice. We can think about the disciples. There's many occasions where we see that Jesus called them to do things which were a sacrifice right from the beginning. They had to leave behind their families. They had to leave behind their fishing boats. Some of them, the tax collector, had to leave behind a fortune if he was going to follow Jesus. There were sacrifices. Or think about the Apostle Paul. He's the rising star in the world of the Pharisees. He's in a position where his reputation is star-studded. He's one of the up-and-coming superstars of his age. And yet, when he is called to follow Jesus on that Damascus road, as he responds in faith, he has to sacrifice his career. He has to sacrifice his reputation. He has to sacrifice everything. So sacrifice is something that is unavoidable in the life of the disciple. Remember what Jesus taught in Matthew 16 and verse 24. He tells his disciple, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." So Abraham here, he is coming to terms with this sacrifice that he's been asked to make. He has been tested. And we know that tests are necessary. The student knows that. They're about to head into a month of tests. The athlete knows that tests are necessary. Those in different kinds of work and service, we know that there are junctures in our lives when we need to be tested. And these tests will inevitably involve making sacrifices. And our fallen instinct is to say on the road of faith, we don't want that. We don't like to be tested. We don't like the idea of having to make sacrifices. It seems so costly sometimes to follow Jesus the way that he's guiding us. And yet think about Abraham and Sarah. They'd waited for so long for this boy. They'd been through so much as they held on to God's promise of this family, of this boy, of the blessing that would come through him. And now the Lord is asking them to sacrifice their only son. And it just seems to us, as we try and process this, it seems unreasonable. It seems too much. But remember, this was a test for Abraham. He won't be taken to the point of actual sacrifice. But we know, as we think about the broader picture of the Bible, that this was not just a test for Abraham. This was a trailer, a preview of what was to come. Abraham's son, Isaac, would not have to be sacrificed. But Jesus, God's only begotten Son, whom he so loved, would have to be sacrificed for us. The Lord knew more about sacrifice than Abraham would ever know. So, if we're at this point in the life of Abraham, tempted to question the character of God, as we think about what God asked Abraham to do and how traumatic that must have been within the family, rather than questioning the demands and the character of God, let us be amazed at the character and the love of God when we think about what he has done for us in Christ. 1 John 4 and at verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So the first thing we see here is sacrifice. And the second thing we see as we move on is obedience in the life and in the response of Abraham. Verse 3. We've got this amazing searching demand from God in verses 1 and 2. And in verse 3, we see just this straightforward obedience. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. And I think this is a remarkable thing when we think about this man. You know, when we're asked to do something that's difficult and costly, we want to delay it. We want to put it off for as long as we possibly can. And then on the day when we actually have to do something and we have to face the demand of whatever it is we don't want to do, we don't tend to wake up bright and early and jump out of our beds. We wake up and we realize the day and we pull the duvet over our heads. We don't want to face the day. And yet Abraham, we don't see that. He comes to the day when obedience was required. And he doesn't delay. He doesn't phone up 10 friends to discuss the pros and cons of acting in obedience to God's word. He doesn't have a discussion on the subject. He doesn't set up a theological commission and call 10 scholars in to give their views. He just obeys. God has spoken clearly. It's a word that was a hard word. And Abraham, he just obeys. He's up first thing. And he does what's required. And there's a lesson there for us. We're to follow his example on this. God has given us his word. We have the word much more clearly than Abraham had. We have the full canon of the word of God, and it's very clear. And sometimes, especially in our culture, what the word of God says is unpopular, and it's demanding, and it's searching, and it can be costly to follow. But we're just to obey. We're to do what Abraham did. We're not to debate. We're not to delay. We're just to obey the Lord. That's what it means to be a disciple. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Abraham, he obeys God. He, verse 3, took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey, while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. And I think that's significant when we think about these words. Abraham, as he sets off to do this awful thing that he can't understand in all likelihood, he says to the servants, we will worship, and then we will return. We'll come back to you. So Abraham here understands that obedience is part of worship. We can't worship God and be disobedient. We can't worship God and yet have areas of our lives where we know we're in defiance. No, worship of God must go together with obedience. And Isaac and Abraham, as they set off, Abraham believes that God will spare Isaac. Because he says, we will come back to you. And we don't know what was in Abraham's mind. We don't know what he was thinking. We don't know if he imagined that he would get to the point of sacrifice and that God would spare his son. We don't know if Abraham was perhaps thinking that Isaac would have to be sacrificed, but then he would be resurrected. That's what's suggested in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17, it says, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned, says the letter writer to the Hebrews, that God could even raise the dead. And so, a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Abraham had faith in the character, in the nature, and in the work of God. He couldn't see clearly what it was that God would do, but he believed that what God would do was good. Thomas Watson said, God is to be trusted when his providences seem to run contrary to his promises. And that's what Abraham was doing. He was trusting God, even though this providence seemed to be so much at odds with the promises that he had received. Continuing verse 6, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. So we have this picture of father and son going in the direction of God's will as they head to the place of sacrifice. And we're not told much about the journey. We're not told much about the conversation or perhaps the awkward silences. We don't have any insight into what the mood was between them. We can imagine Abraham being distressed. He couldn't be anything but that. We can imagine Isaac being perplexed as he's trying to think about the sacrifice and where the sacrifice actually was. And there's so much time for Abraham to turn these things over in his mind on this journey. The journey was about 45 miles. It was 3 days at full speed. So there was plenty of time for Abraham to backtrack. But he resolves to be obedient and he keeps on going. It's not flash in the pan obedience. It's long, steady obedience. And that's another lesson for us as we see Abraham. We're given an example of the kind of obedience that should mark our lives, that long, steady obedience. Verse 9. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife. It's as if everything here goes into slow motion in this moment. We've not had much detail about these 3 days, but now they've come to the moment. And Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham, here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." And we can only imagine the joy that Abraham must have experienced in that moment as he heard the voice from heaven, as his outstretched hand is held back. We can only imagine what it must have felt like in Abraham's heart as he experiences the blessing of God in obedience, as a son is spared. And yet, again, as we think about this scene, our minds surely fast forward from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Our minds surely fast forward to Romans 8 and at verse 32, where we are told that God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. So we have this contrast. The knife is raised, but the son of Abraham is spared. But at Calvary, God's son, Jesus, he is not spared, but he willingly lays down his life for us all. What Abraham did not have to experience as a father, God our Father experienced for us. And think about the journey, even from the perspective of Christ. The God-man. Imagine in his humanity as Jesus made his way through life. We think about this difficult journey for Abraham and Isaac as they follow the will of God, even though it didn't lead to death. But think about Jesus journeying from heaven to earth. Think about what Jesus experienced as through the years he grew in wisdom and understood more and more of the scriptures and more of the reality of the cross that he was headed for. Think about Jesus when he's in Gethsemane with the prospect of this suffering weighing down so heavy on him. Think about the cost that Jesus was having to measure. And the cost for God the Father in advance of the altar of the cross. All these things, I think, are connecting with this chapter. And so we see Isaac, who was bound on the altar, and yet he is loosed. He's untied. But years later, possibly on that same site, that same hill, Jesus was fixed to the cross with nails so that we could be loosed from our sin. Hale, the commentator, says, "Moriah, the place where the sacrifice was to be carried out was a mountaintop. Much later, it would become the site of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. Thus, Isaac was to be the first sacrifice offered at that site, where later so many other sacrifices would be offered up, culminating in the final and supreme sacrifice of another offspring of Abraham, God's one and only Son, Jesus Christ. So here everything is pointing us forward to Jesus. And we see the sacrifice that Abraham is asked to make. We see the obedience that is so readily shown in the life of Abraham. And very briefly, we see in verse 13 and 14, substitution. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." And very, very clearly here, we see that sacrifice. We can again just imagine Abraham on that hill. He looks around and he sees the ram. And the ram takes the place of his son, Isaac. God provided a way for Isaac and for Abraham not to suffer. God provided a way of life. The ram died as the substitute, because a sacrifice had to be made. But instead of Isaac, this ram dies. There's substitution. And again, we're pointed forward to Jesus. He's the one who lived the sinless life that we have not and we cannot live. He did it as our substitute. Jesus is the one who died the sinner's death, the death that we deserve, in our place as our substitute. And we'll sing it in just a moment. "Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Saviour." So Jesus is the substitute. And if you just glance back for a second to verse 7, there's this question that must have been so difficult for Abraham to hear as they travel towards the mountain. Isaac asks the question, "Where is the lamb? We've got the wood, we've got the fire. Where is the lamb?" And that's a question that hangs in the air. And it's a question that you could say is suspended for years and decades and centuries. And yet it's a question that is answered eventually in John chapter 1 and verse 29, where John sees Jesus. And remember what he says? He says, "Behold, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He is our substitute. So have we looked to him? Are we beholding him tonight? We sang it, but are we doing it? "My faith looks up to thee, thy Lamb of Calvary, Saviour divine." Is he our Saviour? Is he our substitute? And the final thing we see here, and my time is gone, is blessing. And you can scan from verses 15 down through to the end. But what we read in these verses is that God promises what he has been promising from Genesis chapter 12, that there will be blessing. And notice the pattern here. The obedience precedes the blessing. Abraham's obedience leads to God's word of clear and amazing blessing. That's the pattern, that's the way it was, and that's still the way it is. Blessing comes through obedience. Now, the blessing of our salvation came from Jesus' obedience, not ours. It's because Jesus was obedient to the Father's will. It was because of what Jesus did that the salvation that we need is given to us as we believe in him. But if you and I want to know the blessing of God's smile on our lives day by day, if we want to know the blessing of intimacy with God, then it comes through obedience. And we see that in the life of Abraham. There's one little point to finish with. If you see from verses 15 to verse 18, the promise of blessing is given to Abraham again, and the volume is turned up. But then from verses 19 to 24, we've got this strange kind of section, which on first reading we think, what's all this about? It's kind of unusual. We are seeing names that we don't recognize. We're seeing a closing section that we can't really see how it fits. And I think the point of this section from 19 to 24 is that it shows that God's promise of blessing was firm, even though the odds of the blessing looked slim. Because what we have here in verses 19 to 24 is a picture of all those who are being born. And Abraham and Sarah, the promised line, they have one child. And yet, in the non-promised line, there's an abundance of children. There's great fertility. There's more and more people. And we would think, from a human perspective, that if God's going to work, he's going to work through the many. But the truth is, God is going to work, but he isn't going to work through the many and the strong. He's going to work through the few and the weak. His ways are not our ways. His paths are not our paths. He works through the weak, not the strong. He works even when we can't see how he could possibly work. And so as the chapter finishes, again, the application for us is that we are to trust him. Trust him more than our eyes can see. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are trustworthy. We thank you that we see that in the life of Abraham. We thank you that we see that as we fast forward from the episode in Abraham's life where we see almost sacrifice to the cross of Calvary, where we see Jesus as the atoning sacrifice for our sin. We thank you that even as we think about the cross, we see what was considered to be an instrument of weakness and torture used to bring life and strength and eternal blessing. So help us, we pray, to trust you as we go into a week that we don't know what lies ahead of us, when we have struggles, when we have fears, when we are tempted to throw up our hands in panic. Help us, we pray, rather to look to you and to trust you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing to finish 458 in Mission Praise, Man of Sorrows. We'll stand to sing.
Man.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.